Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So if you wanted to check in on the Braves, just to see how everything's going right now, that's how everything's going right now. Because a great weekend was masked up, first by Ronald Acuña Jr., doing what he did by tweeting at a Braves beat reporter to voices concern and displeasure and dismay about Snicker deciding not to punish Jared Kelnick for hot-dogging it around the bases. So there was that. Then we find out today that Spencer Strider goes on the 15-day IL. I mean, is there a black cloud following the Braves this season? Like, what on earth is going on? Strider makes, or he only made one start, right? I'm not losing my mind here. He made one start this season.
One start, five strikeouts.
Five strikeouts. Snicker put him back out for the sixth. Big mistake, in my opinion.
Didn't go well.
And then he gave up the bomb to Vladdy Jr. And then that was all she wrote. And then he was scheduled to go tomorrow. And now he's
what kind of aggressive game of catch is he playing where he hurts his hamstring?
I know, Oren, did you ever play baseball growing up?
I did.
So we used to do 30, 60, 90. That's how we'd warm up. You go 30 feet, 60 feet, 90 feet. I'll tell you this. I never busted a hammy doing 30, 60, 90. But Spencer Strider, my friend, Oren, he gone.
I know sometimes they'll bring a football out and they'll play catch with a football doing warm-ups.
Oh, I better not hear that.
Oh my God. Please don't let that be the case.
Yeah, he was throwing around the old Nerf football and he threw it too hard and he popped out his hammy. I mean, you have got to be kidding me, man. So again, Strider to the IL.
Is this the fate that we have to live with now this season? Just
I hope
being
not.
In constant sort of worry that every start by Spencer Strider is going to be followed with an IL stint.
Well, forget this season. How about for his career? That's his second one, man. Tommy John. Well, before I get scolded, he had the UCL brace or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's different for this one he had, yes.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I guess we're going to see a lot more A.J. Smith-Shawver for the time being. Hurston Waldrop, is he going to get some run? It is just not great in Braves Nation right now, although they did tie it up, Austin Riley, with a masher. And we'll see what happens. Keep you posted on this game as it rolls along. All right, Oren, let's hear a little bit, and then we'll reestablish this Landry Fields conversation. But I did want you to hear Trey Young and Quinn Snyder, because they did speak over the weekend. This was obviously before the news, but they did speak about the end of the season and what happened. First up, Trae Young was talking about the focus on development this season.
I mean, nobody looks at us as a title contender and things like that. So for me, I mean, it's all about how we could get better each and every day and focus on that. And that's something that was told to me before the season started that I needed to focus on and things like that. And because people know how much I really care about winning. And if you really, really know me, that's all I care about. And so for me, I've had to focus more on the younger guys and making sure that we've gotten better each and every day. And I feel like we've done that.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, right? Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what Trey is saying right there in terms of the growth and development of the young players. And Oren, what do we keep saying? That's because Jalen Johnson was out, right?
You're missing everybody, that number two.
Everybody had to step up one spot in the rotation to play a bigger role. Next up from Trey Young, he says, simply put, failure that we didn't make the playoffs.
We all look at the season differently. For me personally, not making the playoffs is a failure for me. No matter who's out there, you know what I'm saying? No matter how much adversity with injuries we've had to face, I still feel like we've had a good enough group to make the playoffs and at least go in there and compete.
I know it's been brought up 1,000 times. Keith Smith, we talked about it from Spotrac NBA. They're not really going to move him, are they? They wouldn't. I know $300 million's a lot, but you've invested how many years now in Trae Young, and you're just going to bail? I don't know. To me, the whole you can't win with him narrative thing, that's not what this is about. Oren, let me ask you this. Was Trae Young the reason that they didn't make the playoffs this season?
Absolutely not.
No.
Anything you could talk about Trae having to step his play up or become a different type of leader out there on the floor, he led the league in assists this year.
By a lot.
By a wide margin.
By a lot. That's the problem. Next up from Trae, he was talking about we all have to look towards the future and get better.
So we got to, all just soak this one in. I mean, it's not much to say. I think you really got to just self-reflect and then go into the summertime, understanding what you got to do to get better. I mean, that's the thing about our team. We got a lot of young guys. So this is a perfect opportunity for guys that, if this is their first experience of an elimination game, that they know now what to expect and what to go into the summertime to work on. So,
yeah, it's funny. Oh, he's speaking like he's 35. Trae Young's 26 years old.
A seasoned vet.
Yeah, we got a lot of young guys on this team. You know, me being 26 years and 200 days old, I am
trying to think. Where is he in terms of the oldest guys on this team?
Larry Nance is up there.
Larry's
Clint's
up there.
Clint's like 31.
No, I don't think Clint might be in his early 30s. I'll take that back, yes.
I think Clint's like 31. And then how old is George Niang? Is he 29, 30?
Clint's 30.
Okay. Yeah, so, they have a couple of guys on this team, but at the end of the day,
George is 31.
Yeah, so,
he might be the oldest one on the team.
Yeah. All right, one more from Trae Young here. Double O, shout-outs to him, man. He had a hell of a game in that finale, and he was showing emotion, and I loved it, and Trae talked about it.
O had to go out there and play 49 minutes tonight. That's not easy for anybody in this league, and you got to give him credit for the way he played, with how many minutes he played, and going up against Bam, they had Ware in there. They got a couple options that they can throw at O, and it's tough for him. And but we've had to battle with injuries from our bigs all year. So I'm just proud of the way that we fought all throughout the year, and didn't give up. And then especially O, the way he just battled tonight, playing almost 50 minutes. That's not easy, especially against that team. So.
Yeah, and Onyeka Okongwu had a great game and a great season, and will definitely be a big picture piece here. I just don't know if he's a starting center. We shall see. A couple from Quinn Snyder here. He says, hey, man, don't judge us by that overtime period. They still
I'm not going to look at 5 minutes. I will look at the 5 minutes, obviously, because, it's high score when we started. But my focus is a little broader than that right now.
Yeah, and it should be, because I think the overall momentum of the team is trending positively, which again is why I don't understand for the life of me why you would fire Landry Fields. He did so many good things in the past calendar year, starting with, getting the trade done to bring in Dyson Daniels, and we were all like, what? At the time, but he's been a revelation on both ends of the floor. And then you make the deadline deal for Hunter, and you bring in Niang, and you bring in LeVert, and then, yeah, you make the trade. Obviously, at the end of the day, you have to do what you have to do, and I thought he did everything well. And then you take Reese Hoshea at one over Sarr. That was the right pick. So I thought, and I heard Andy and Randy say it earlier today, that, you know, the arrow was started to point up for him. So it's just interesting. I don't get it. I'd love to know, or, and I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that discussion. Just wrestler and younger wrestler and Kyle Korver and everybody else.
Oh, you think younger wrestler was in the meeting?
Yes. I think he's in every meeting, if I had to answer honestly. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
The thing that surprised me, though, with this move is the fact that I kind of assumed that Kyle Korver and Landry were sort of linked together because they came in together. It was sort of their vision for the future in terms of this roster, how they wanted it to be built was going to be the majority of their input. And if I'm not mistaken, they had worked together too. So it was their future and their vision. But now it just seems like Landry's here and Landry's gone and Kyle's still here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, again, we'll never know. Keith Smith from Spotrac, we had him on before, but he made a great point. Maybe Landry sort of put a line in the sand in terms of something he believed, and everybody else was like, nah. And they were like, yeah, we're going to move on without you. All right, a couple more from Quinn before we catch a break. What went wrong in that very short and very dominant overtime period for the Heat?
They were able to, were they 5 for 6 from 3 in overtime, I think. That's hard to overcome. And to whatever extent, you know, we had some breakdowns that resulted in those threes being more open than we wanted to. You know, you're always going to look back and wish that were different. But, you know, give Miami credit. I thought both teams played at a high level and a very high level competitively.
All right, last one before we get out of here. Coach was talking about all the adversity that the Hawks have faced this season.
This year has been full of a lot of things. We'll go through them all, whether it's, you know, just adversity in many different shapes and sizes, which is, you know, typical of an NBA season and typical of life. But I thought the way that this group handled those things, you know, over a period of 80 plus games, is something that's commendable.
Yeah, and you know what? Your GM wasn't one of those things that you had diversity about. At least I didn't think so. So we shall see. All right, 404-726-0929. All right, coming up next, Oren's going to hit me with not one, not two, not three, not four, but five NFL draft true and false questions.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Man, this is just one of those days. I almost feel like, dare I say, Oren, 5 hours isn't enough. No, 5 hours is actually probably plenty. But you know the cliche. Oh, man, we got so much to talk to.
The show's just flying by.
Yeah, you hear Stakey, 2 hours. And then it's like, oh, the fastest 2 hours. How about this is the fastest 5 hours in sports radio? Huh?
Fastest 2 hours is a bit oxymoronic.
Yeah. I got your fast. I'll take your fast 2 hours and raise it by times two and a hey.
You're doing double the show that they do.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Chris Thomas Turtle with you till 10, and then the Atlanta Baseball postgame show with yours truly begins, and I take your calls at 404-726-0929. 2-2 right now, top five, and Schwelly's been good. His defense failed him a little bit, and then Riley came through with a clutch homer, so we are knotted at two. Also got some NBA playoffs going on right now. Knicks and who are they playing? Detroit. Detroit's a little pesky bunch, but the Knicks took care of business in the first game.
Yeah, a 21-0 run in the fourth quarter of that game. How about that?
That's what happens when you get the inexperience factor going in. Because this Knicks squad, you have some players who
they've been through this, the wars and the playoffs, so to speak. Yeah.
And you were hoping the other night that Trey would be able to show some of that merit in overtime, and then I think the Heat missed one shot in overtime. So that was
Davion Mitchell still hitting three pointers right now.
Yeah, exactly. And stealing the ball away from the Atlanta Hawks. All right, 404-726-0929. Getting a lot of funny comments about Oren about my trip to the church and then grandma's house with the girlfriend. That was a lot of fun for Easter. How was your Easter, by the way?
Not bad. We went over to my wife's parents' house. And Franklin, he has a cousin who is 12. She was the youngest cousin. Now Franklin is the youngest cousin.
Well, she's about to be the
second youngest cousin. But Brittany's, my wife, her two sisters and nieces, they set up close to 200 eggs in their backyard.
Whoa.
So Franklin is just sort of, my son is just sort of going around. Another one. I found another one. I found another one. I found another one. I found another one. So just going around finding eggs. That was really, really cute. And then he ate a bunch of candy and then didn't want to go home and take a nap. So that wasn't as fun.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He was on a sugar high.
Oh,
sugar
my goodness.
High.
And then that crash hits and you just sort of like, oh,
you get
Jesus,
into a
take the wheel.
You just like get into a daze and it's just like manic. That manic energy when you're at the bottom.
We were
of
driving
the
over
crash.
To her parents' house and I smelled something and I'm like, that's a very specific smell. Did Franklin open up candy? And sure enough, look in the back. Yeah, he opened up a Reese's cup in the back all by himself. It was just as quiet as can be back there munching on a peanut butter cup.
Well, I will say this. He has good taste.
He does.
He has good taste.
He does.
And we shall see if the Falcons have good taste on Thursday night when they pick that and all things NFL draft coming up right now with five true and false.
All righty. Jonathan Jones, CBS analyst, CBS writer, CBS talker.
Pundit.
Pundit. There you go. That's a great word. Pundit. Published a mock draft today. And noticeably missing from the first round of that mock draft, one Shedeur Sanders.
Oh.
Had Shedeur falling completely out of the first round. And it seems to be more questions about Shedeur right now than I guess answers. And we're in that window where you don't want the questions to start popping up now, or second guessing starting to kind of happen with you right
now.
Did
he have that private workout yet? He must have, right?
He must have, yeah.
Yeah, because he was going to throw for like two or three different teams again privately to sort of help boot exactly what you're saying, to try to flip the script on that narrative.
But for some reason, the script it seems to be flipping the other way for him. And the second question I have here is a quarterback who the script is flipping the opposite way for. So start with Shedeur, though. True or false, Shedeur will not be the second quarterback taken in the first round of this year's draft.
False. This is all a bunch of malarkey nonsense, because there's going to be a team like – okay, Oren, let me put it to you this way. The Steelers pick at like 19 or 21. If Shedeur Sanders falls to them.
It's the fastest run up to
yeah,
the guy
you're not
way.
You're not telling me that Mr. Khan over there in Pittsburgh is not putting on his track shoes to get that pick out to Goodell? I mean, come on, man. Seriously. You don't think the Saints would take Shedeur Sanders? Really? Come on, man. Let's stop. The group think here, and let's stop listening to, I'm not going to call out shows by name, but there are certain shows on certain channels that rotate the same six topics every single day, and one of those has become Shedeur Sanders and his future. So the content machine is vomiting out content about Shedeur Sanders every single day. You just mentioned CBS. Log on to NBC Sports NFL, Pro Football Talk. Log on to ESPN, NFL Network. You know what you're going to see in that A block, which is the first batch of stories that you read? Something about Shedeur Sanders. You know why? Because he gets clicks.
He does.
That's the dirty truth there, Mr. Oren Romain. So, no, there will be at least four or five teams that would pounce in the first round if he falls deep enough.
Question number two. There was one name added to the NFL green room list that people sort of stood at attention when saw. Jalen Milroe. Added to the green room list, the NFL draft up in Green Bay. True or false? False, excuse me. Jalen Milroe would be the highest player selected that no one expected to be selected as high.
True. I mean, if him, I mean, because I think, well, give me a caveat here, Oren. Jackson Dart is not included in that list because people have thought highly enough of him at this point to not have him be included.
Jackson has sort of been seen as a fringe first or second rounder. Jalen didn't come in, I think, with that first or second round buzz, but it's built up to that way. So
yeah, he was more second or third round pick. First round pick was never really in the offing. So I'm going to say true because, again, just like with the Shedeur Sanders question, teams get desperate at quarterback. That's the dirty little secret. Do you guys not remember why the – Oren, you know why the Jets took Zach Wilson, right, at the number two overall pick?
Because of that one throw he had in that workout that everybody was wild about.
Not even one workout. It was one throw.
One throw he had.
The Jets took him number two overall. That's all you need to know. Now it is the Jets, but that's all you need to know.
Question number three. Let's keep it local here. The Falcons currently have five picks and the draft.
Kind of five. But two of those are seventh round picks.
Seventh rounders.
Joe Patrick, according to him, doesn't even count those.
The Falcons are going to finish the NFL draft over the weekend with more than five players selected.
I hope not, because that means they trade down. I don't want them to trade down, Oren. You have Shamar Stewart. You have Mike Green. You have James Pierce Jr. You have Jalen Walker. You have Mykel Williams, Shamar Stewart. There are so many guys that are going to be available when they pick at 15 that could be potentially not even game changers. Just make your pass rush representative. Right now, the tandem starting duo for the Atlanta Falcons at defensive end, if they play up to the back of their football cards, is projected at about 14 sacks. That's not good.
That's not great.
That's not good at all. The best pass rushers in the league get 15-plus by themselves. So you need help.
Help.
And I need somebody.
Help.
Not just anybody. I need a stud.
I need a hero.
Yeah, exactly. As we go into the night. We could do this all day, man. So that's the thing, though. You need another guy. You need another person to contribute to that D-line. Don't tell me it's Braylon Trice. We don't know. Don't tell me
what he was last year. Yeah,
I don't know. He played like six games. Brandon Dorlus was inactive basically the entire year. Don't give me that garbage. The garbage. No. No, 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 no. They finished with the same amount.
So currently on Jonathan Jones's mock draft, he has the Falcons staying at pick 15 and taking James Pierce.
Okay, fine. It's to me, like, other than Jalen Walker, because he's a little different, Oren, we don't know jack about any of those guys, how they're going to translate into the NFL.
No,
they're
you're all kind of mishmashed.
Yeah, they're all mishmashed there right together. So, Mike Green, we've seen all these guys flash. Stewart flashed at the Combine. Green flashed at the
Senior Bowl.
So, we've seen sparkles from all these guys, but we don't know. So, just give me one of them. Don't trade down.
Stay where you are.
It's like when your dog, you know your dog's about to do something bad.
Don't.
Hey, don't, buddy.
My child. Hey, yeah, stop.
I can see it in your eyes.
No.
You're about to rip through the garbage can because you smell something. Don't you dare.
Falcons. You do that thing I told you not to do.
Falcons, don't you dare trade down. I see you.
Don't do it.
I see you with your point valuations and your player scales.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
All righty. Question number four. We'll stay with pass rushers here, guys. The best pass rusher taken in the first round of this year's NFL draft in terms of, let's just say, career sacks won't be Abdul Carter. True or false?
Nah, it's Abdul Carter. I see what you're trying to do there. Maybe give some hope to the Falcons fans
I just said James Pierce was there at 15,
Abdul Carter,
according to Jonathan Jones' mock draft.
That guy's a plug-and-play freak. We all know it. We just wish. The Falcons just wish they could get their hands on a guy like that, although they'd probably go with Ashton Jeanty instead of giving the opportunity.
Oh, don't say that.
Too soon?
Very much too soon.
Too soon? He is rocketing up draft boards, by the way. They have him like as a lock to go to the Raiders in the top 10.
Not just that. Him rocketing up draft boards is also doing very well for Omarion Hampton right now, too, because teams see Omarion as like that 1B sort of guy, and whoever is the next team that needs a running back wants to make sure that they don't miss out on their guy. So I'm seeing more and more mock drafts now with not just Ashton Jeanty, but Omarion Hampton in there as well.
His nickname needs to be the Icebox, right?
Omarion?
Yeah.
I got an icebox where my heart used to be.
So when he gets into the NFL and he starts running over people, his nickname needs to be
the Icebox. I have to play that song.
I hope so.
All right, number five, we'll just keep it kind of fun and local. True or false, your Jets are going to screw this draft up?
Oh, of course. Come on, man. It's another year. Come on, man. Is it a day that ends in Y, Oren Romain, is the question. And the answer is yes, so of course they will. Of course they will. They always do. They always do. All right, Oren, great job on the NFL draft, true and false. You just had to slip that one in there, huh? Having a good night, fun show, lots of topics, and then the sobering reality that my New York Jets exist. I'm trying not to think about them much this time of year. Has not exactly been fond memories for me the past 15, 20 years or so. But we carry on. Speaking of carrying on, what does Steve Wyche know? He is as plugged in, especially locally here in Atlanta, being a former reporter here. He joined Dukes and Bell, and they asked him everything you need to know about the draft coming up on Thursday. If you missed that conversation, we're bringing it back next right here on Chris Thomas Tonight. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Oh, man, I'm going to listen to this walking home tonight. Chris Thomas back with you in five.
I think there's a partner. I don't think that partner is going to pay $20 million of it. But, you know, it depends on who the partner is, too, and what they have kind of on their salary cap space and their allotment. I mean, I think right now you're looking at two teams, and that's Cleveland and that's Pittsburgh, who could probably do this. They may want to wait until after the draft before they make that type of commitment. But as I said on the show weeks ago, I think there's going to be a trade market for Kirk Cousins. Now it just depends on how much they're willing to pay of Kirk's contract. And I think when push comes to shove, if they can get back a team that pays $10 million of it, which is that $10 million bonus they got, then it's a wash and a win.
I know everybody is sick and tired of this Aaron Rodgers watch, Steve, but, I mean, it does kind of keep us in limbo like a bunch of other teams because he is tied to the Steelers. Do you think he's going to sit it out and wait for someone to get injured and come to the rescue? What do you think the plan is here with Rodgers?
Man, who knows with him? I mean, I think because retirement is a legitimate option for him, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be in Pittsburgh. Maybe he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. Maybe he does wait. But the teams don't want to wait on him anymore. I mean, when he came out and kind of said some of the things he said last week on Pat McAfee's show, you just kind of have to wonder how all in is he? And he brought that up. How all in can I be? That's part of it. And look, I know Aaron. I think that's only fair of him to put out there for the team and for himself. And if there's any doubt, Steelers have met with him. You know, some of these teams have met with him. If there's any doubt, then they've got to do what they've got to do. And that's where I think the Kirk Cousins trade comes into play, and I think that's also where the draft comes into play.
It is all about the draft, guys, as we're counting down. Steve Wyche with us here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. So is Shador going to be a first-round pick? Or is this all just misdirection and misinformation? Look, I think the kid's got the skill set. I think he's got the tools and talent, Steve. But everything I'm seeing now is like, well, he may not be a first-rounder. How?
It depends on the team you talk to. I mean, some teams don't love him. Some teams like him a lot. You know, is that enough? And it depends on your circumstance. Again, we come back to Cleveland, which has a second pick. They're not taking him there. I think they're going to take Travis Hunter from everything I'm hearing, from some of the indications I've gotten. You know, we know Abdul Carter is a possibility. But could they use their high second-round pick to trade back into the first round to get him if he falls that far? Does Pittsburgh take him at that spot, especially – after what they just went through with Kenny Pickett, you know, with the same type of draft, same type of situation, taking him, I think, at like 21, and that didn't work out. Can they afford to do that? So, you know, with Shador,
look, I was at Colorado's Pro Day. I spoke with Deion. Deion isn't really that big on Shador going top three, top five, whatever. He wants his son to go to the best situation where he's got a chance to succeed with his skill set, to be in a building that's got some good solid foundation and some good coaching. And he wants a chance, you know, this is Deion speaking, for Shador to go to the right type of environment. What that is, we'll see. But I know that Shador and Deion want him to play as soon as possible.
It does seem like the Giants really have kicked the tires on him more than anybody, but then who knows what that franchise is going to do. Steve Weiss is with us on the waitforit.com hotline. Do you expect some big surprise move? I've seen a lot of stuff written about a lot of guys. Remember how devalued the running back market was, Steve? Now, guys, everybody wants to get up there and get Ashton Jeanty.
Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? For several reasons. One, he's a damn good player, right? And if your team's got an offensive line and maybe a limited quarterback where the run game helps, like a Las Vegas Raiders, you take him, because the money on a rookie deal, if that's all you're going to get out of him and you don't, you know, and you can franchise him two or three times, that's what I think. The money is good for a young running back, you know, for him to get paid and for the team to make, you know, for the team in terms of salary cap management. So I think Ashton Jeanty's a guy. There's a couple other players. You know, some people like the guy out of University of North Carolina. Some people like both running backs out of Ohio State. The one thing is, this is an incredibly deep running back draft. Like, you're going to see, you know, a lot of running backs who get picked up in the sixth and seventh round end up making, you know, an impact. Like, you know, the running back last year out of Tampa Bay. So, but Jeanty is clearly, everyone deems him as the special one. You know, he's someone who's probably not getting past, you know, the top six or seven teams.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina, and then Trayvon Henderson is the running back out of Ohio State. The Ohio State, but they've got two. I mean, I think it's Judkins as well, that are top five or six running backs in this draft. So no doubt, if you are looking for a running back, you can find one. And certainly, you know, at the top of this draft, they're going to be available. Even, I think, in the middle rounds. With that said, let's talk about the edge rushers, because that's somewhere where the Falcons have been talking about, you know, and getting. Steve, we haven't had a guy that has gotten over seven sacks in 5 years. So, you know, you're talking about a position of need, and then this edge rush class, whether you think Abdul Carter is going to be the next great thing or not, I think it's deep enough where you could find a couple of guys if the Falcons are committed to going there. Do you think that's where they want to go in this draft?
I have been wrong on this for like 10 years, because I've been screaming. You guys have heard me say on the show, they haven't had a consistent edge rusher since John Abraham, right? Since him and Patrick Kearney.
Yep.
And, you know, you talk about, I forget the young man's name.
Arnold,
but he was a flash in the pan. He was a 1 year, 15 sack guy.
You're talking about the kid out of Clemson.
Correct. And they haven't had anybody since that. So, yes. Do they need one? Yes. Should they draft one? Yes. Will they draft one? Man, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, you're talking about some key edge rushers, a young man out of Marshall. There's so many good players. And, again, knowing Raheem Morris and how he can scheme. I mean, look what he did with Byron Young when he was a rookie, a third-round draft pick out of Tennessee. So, and he's turned into a fantastic pass rusher, you know, for the Rams. So, yes. I think they should draft an edge rusher. Should they draft an edge rusher? We're all going to scream. Let's fire up the choir. Reverend speak. Right. Draft an edge rusher. Right? But will they? Yeah, man. You know.
Well, we're also, Steven,
they know what they want, and we'll see.
Steve, we're also in a situation where we don't have the full complement of picks. You know, we traded last year for Matthew Judon. That obviously didn't pan out, so we don't have a third rounder. Cousins cost us a fifth rounder for being in the legal tampering zone when he spoke with the Falcons. So any chance? I mean, yes, it takes two to tango, but we never historically have ever traded down. So it might be the right year to do it.
It might be, but again, if that edge rusher, which very well could be there staring right at you, you do it, you could trade down. Again, this is where the Kirk Cousins things deal could come into play. You know, it takes two to tango. Maybe some team wants to come up and get a player that they want more than you do. Then you do it. But, you know, look, we could sit there and talk about the quantity of picks and doing that. With that quality players, there have been teams who've done great with five draft picks and nailed it.
Yep.
Do that. Be good. Your team's not that far off. You got a stud young quarterback.
You can sit there and talk about, yeah, I got value out of this guy in the fourth round. Well, you know what? If you passed up on somebody in the first or second who could have made the swing vote difference to you win the division, then that doesn't mean anything to me. Get the guy who's going to help your team get out of, you know, the mediocrity, the constant, well, we're a year away. Get out of that. Get a difference maker. You know, like they've got a quarterback in Penix. You get somebody like that who can change your team, and then you can pound your chest.
Last thing for me, Steve, speaking of what you just said, how much pressure does that put on Terry Fontenot to get this right?
I think he's under a ton of pressure. You know, he was figuring it out with Arthur Smith the first go-round, but he's had a chance now to go to a second head coach, to go through some coordinator changes. I think it's huge on him to get it right because he's gotten it right at some spots. But, you know, they're still in the same place. You know, they're still in kind of that 7-10, you know, Atlanta Hawks purgatory.
Yep.
Let's graduate a level, and then you can say, okay, you know, now I feel good about things.
I know that there's got to be a sense of urgency for Arthur Blank. I mean, I know he had maybe said it publicly. We did know that he did address to his general manager and coach how disappointed he was, Steve. But, I mean, you know, this will be five seasons without a trip to the playoffs, so someone's going to get fired.
Yeah. I mean, someone has to. It's, you know, look, a lot of the stuff that can't be put on Terry Fontenot because of the push to make the move to get Kirk Cousins. You know, that's not made in a vacuum. You know, because they broke from their initial plan and made a run at Deshaun Watson, which they didn't get.
Right.
But the fact that they entertained it really seemed to kind of break a pattern. So a lot of that's not on the GM, okay? He's part of it, but he's not necessarily the reason for it. But yeah, they're on this hamster wheel, they're on this treadmill. They've got to break out of that cycle. And again, you hit in the draft, you coach guys up, you made the change at defensive coordinator. Get it right, and take a step that so many other teams seem to manage to make.
That's how we felt. That's how we've been feeling. We'll say it again. Get it right. Steve Weiss, you get it right, man. We appreciate you all the time. NFL Network, watch all the coverage, guys, and thanks so much for the time, Steve.
Thank you, guys.
All right.